I think the cast is assembled. Let's go back to 531, please.
531, proclaim May 27 through June 1, 2015 to be the 28th annual Great Blue Heron Week.
While both our feathered and non-feathered witnesses are appearing, I'll read this proclamation and turn it over to them. Whereas the great blue heron is a majestic symbol of the City of Portland's efforts to restore, protect, and sustain ecologically healthy habitats for fish and wildlife and for the enjoyment of citizens of Portland and throughout the region. And whereas Great Blue Heron Week represents an opportunity for the City of Portland to recommit its efforts to the natural environment by celebrating past successes and future challenges. And whereas the adoption of a comprehensive plan update, Central City Plan, and Climate Action Plan creates the need to develop and implement a new generation of innovative green infrastructure programs. And whereas the Portland Harbor Superfund process is reaching its final stages, providing an unparalleled opportunity to restore the Willamette River to health and to reconnect the community to the river. And whereas the City of Portland is an active partner in the Intertwine Alliance, collaborating with more than 113 Alliance partners to create the Intertwine, a world-class system of parks, trails, and natural areas for the Portland-Vancouver metropolitan region. And whereas the Portland area residents have engaged in an effort to better understand great blue herons and the health of our river and streams through a six-year citizen science rookery monitoring project led by the Audubon Society of Portland that involved over 40 volunteers contributing nearly 600 hours and collected baseline information to help gauge heron health in the region. And whereas the City of Portland is dedicated to ensuring that all of its citizens have access to nature where they live, work, and play, now, therefore, I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim May 27th to June 1st, 2015, to be 28th annual Great Blue Heron Week in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this week. So thank you all for your advocacy. Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and members of City Council. Thank you for having us here to celebrate the 29th annual Great Blue Heron Week. With me today are Joe Liebesite, who is Audubon's Avian Conservation Programs Manager, and he'll be talking a little bit about Great Blue Heron monitoring, and Mike Houck from the Urban Green Spaces Institute, who will read a poem by William Stafford honoring the Great Blue Heron. I'm going to give a very brief overview of sort of where we see the city environmentally and then pass it on. It was just about a year ago that we defeated the sewer water initiative, and I wanted to start with that because that was an important moment, because I think what that really was a referendum on the city's environmental programs. I talked before dozens of groups, and many of them didn't really understand it until they understood that what was at risk was the city's environmental programs, and then overwhelming, universally, they rejected this, and that measure went down by 43 points. I think that truly was the community speaking to how much they value this city's environmental programs and environmental efforts. That was a direct threat to those programs, but I think we have an indirect threat that may even be more insidious, and that's complacency. A lot of our first-generation environmental programs are coming to an end, and we're replacing them with new programs, or at least we have the opportunity to do that. And I think the question really before us is, are we going to be as innovative as we've been in the past? Are we going to do the things that we need to do to protect species like the great blue heron and keep the wild in our city? And I think that's still an open question as things like the comprehensive plan, the Central City Plan, and other efforts move forward. It's our challenge, this generation's challenge now, to take the next step and build upon the work that was done 25, 30 years ago when the great blue heron was first made the city's official bird. And so I want to highlight just a couple of things that I think we need to be thinking about going forward. The first is green infrastructure. A lot of our green infrastructure programs are coming to an end. Greater Green is about to end completely with the end of the Friends of Trees contract. The other parts of that have ended already. We need to take the next step and develop the next generation of Greater Green programs, eco-roofs, street trees, and bioswales, green streets, and so on. We need a program that's even more innovative than one we had previously, and one that demonstrates how cost-effective this work truly is, that it saves the community money over traditional efforts. Superfund. There's nothing we're going to do that's more important to this river than addressing the end of this Superfund process and making sure that we clean up this river in a way that's healthy for humans and for wildlife. And I would ask you to consider creating a citizens task force to advise the city. It's kind of a black box for the community, the way Superfund works. I think it's tremendously important. The city is both a PRP, but also the protector of the public trust, and that the city be the one to really start to engage the community and make sure that they have a voice as well.
This would be in addition to the committee that the EPA has established?
Yeah, I think the city needs an advisory committee as well, because I think the city is in a uniquely positioned to make sure that that public input gets into the process and that it really reflects the community. It has a dual challenge as a PRP and as the protector of the public interest. At least look for mechanisms to truly engage this community and make sure that you're hearing back from them, because Superfund is a little bit of a black box. Number three, the climate action plan. Tremendous opportunity there. That really is the biggest threat facing us environmentally, and we have a tremendous opportunity there to adopt it and implement it. And I look particularly to the opportunity to develop a fossil fuel export policy, something that's been on the radar screen in a big way recently. Finally, the comp plan and the central city plan. Both of those have tremendous impacts in terms of our environment. One of the things I want to highlight for you is keeping the public involvement piece, especially in the most controversial areas, things like our river. I think there's a movement towards streamlining, but we need to make sure the public remains involved, engaged in the decision-making going forward, because the challenges in front of us may be different than the challenges behind us. So I'll end by just saying thank you, because I think there's been some exciting progress in recent weeks and months. First of all, the mayor's initiative on the Willamette River to create some new access and restoration. It's great to see things like the Central City Plan moving onto the ground implementation. And so thank you very much for that leadership. And number two, on Pembina, a controversial issue, but the community spoke very, very loudly. I think the leadership there was tremendously important, and very much appreciate the mayor and council's thinking about that and the mayor's willingness to take a stand on this and say that this isn't consistent with our environmental values, a difficult thing to do. Some folks have suggested that the city shouldn't be involved in this stuff, that we can't have an impact globally. The fact that the Pope and the Canadian consulate are paying attention shows that, in fact, what we do here truly does matter, not just locally but globally, and we need to continue that leadership. So with that, I'll pass it on to Joe. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think that's the first time the mayor and the Pope have been mentioned in the same sentence.
And the Canadian consulate.
Not to mention the first time that the mayor from Portland and the Pope are going to be in the same room.
Well,
I don't know if you know, but I've been invited along with 15 other mayors to meet at the Vatican with the Pope to talk about climate change.
How cool is that?
So I'm obviously going to accept this invitation.
Yeah, just got it.
So it's actually the first step. It's the first step in a process of beautification.
No chance of that. Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor Hells and Commission members. My name is Joe Liebeside again. I'm the Avian Conservation Program Manager at Audubon. And among other things, I run our science program here at Audubon. And I have a few slides, not many, just to kind of highlight our heron monitoring that we've done over a number of years. So from 2009 to 2014, we organized a citizen science effort to monitor heron rookeries. And if you don't know, herons nest in these colonial rookeries throughout the city. And the main point was to track trends in the rookery use and document local population changes. And through these efforts, we've established a baseline of information to help gauge how herons are doing in our area. And an important element of this is we've involved a lot of members of the public in this effort, and it helps them learn more about the natural environment, develop some field biology skills, and have a lot of fun doing it. And in this first slide here, you can just see a picture of a heron rookery out at Ross Island. So just within a stone's throw of our of downtown here, we have wildlife and herons nesting. So we monitored a total of 39 rookeries throughout the Portland metro area over the 6 years, and over 40 volunteers, many of them returning year after year, contributed, and they logged over 600 hours of volunteer time. We also relied on some agency partners to collect data at a few sites. And each year we assigned a volunteer one or more rookeries, and we monitored them multiple times. And during each visit, they counted the total number of nests, number of active nests, where we know that birds were actually raising young, and the number of adult birds present in each rookery. And this is just a map showing all the different sites throughout the Portland metro region. So it's a pretty impressive sweep of sites down south, Goat Island up to Ridgefield National Wildlife Refuge. Of course, the sites in the city, Smith and Bybee, for example.
I notice Tigard City Hall is a rookery site.
Yeah, I think there was a rookery out there at one point.
Bano Creek, right?
Yeah. And so from a subset of the rookeries we monitored where we had the best data, we conducted a trend analysis to look for any types of changes in the active nests in adults across the six-year effort. And you can see that little graph there with the number of adults across the time span and as well as active nests. And our findings suggest that the population in the Portland metro area is currently stable. However, we stress that just because our findings indicate this doesn't mean that these birds are not facing threats that could lead to population declines. And herons are known to be particularly sensitive to contaminants in our environment. And Bob brought up the Superfund, and these birds are very much tied to the water. We know that they're susceptible to PCBs and to lead in the environment as well as to human disturbance and habitat loss. So moving forward, we continue to highlight this majestic bird to the Portland residents and encourage the public to contact Portland Audubon if they have any concerns about their favorite heron rookery. And on a broader perspective, getting the public engaged with herons helps connect folks with other conservation issues that Audubon is prioritizing, which Bob mentioned many of, as we work to protect wildlife and their habitats through our region as well as throughout Oregon. So thanks for your work to help protect wildlife, and we hope we'll keep doing it. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Houck.
Mayor Hales, Commissioners, my name is Mike Houck. I'm here today representing the Urban Green Spaces Institute, and shortly after the heron was adopted as our official city bird, I contacted William Stafford, who was the Oregon Poet Laureate at that time. And I think, you know, reflecting on some of the spiritual and philosophical bases for the policies that we're developing, I think it's important periodically for us to kind of take a little time out and think more on the spiritual and the philosophical level. And I think that William Stafford just totally nailed it in terms of how people feel about access to nature and being able to see a great blue heron flying through downtown and coming upon one on their travels through the intertwine. So I'm going to just quickly read this. And by the way, last year, Mayor Hales, you suggested that I submit this to the Portland Archives, which I did do, so it's in the archives. And it's titled Spirit of Place, Great Blue Heron. Out of their loneliness for each other, two reeds, or maybe two shadows, lurch forward and become suddenly a life lifted from the dawn to the rain. It is the wilderness come back again, a lagoon with our city reflected in its eye. We live by faith in such presences. It is a test for us, that thin but real undulating figure that promises, if you keep the faith, I will exist at the edge where your vision joins the sunlight and the rain. Heads in the light, feet that go down in the mud where the truth is.
Wonderful. Thank you all very much. We appreciate you being here. We'd love to take a photograph with the council and your proclamation and your friend, if we might.
No, that'd be great.
And we just want to invite you out as well for the events. We have a tremendous number of trips and things scheduled, including the Ross Island Regatta.
Ah, great. Please.
Take a photo. Who's got a camera? Oh, you got a camera here?
Where's Bud Clark? That's awesome.
Thank you all very much.
Thanks, Robert.
Mike, I think you're getting even better at that imitation. They're almost as surprising in real life as when he does it. Thank you all very much. Okay.